From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Daryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. Some of you may remember this, but there was a case back in 2014 where a chemist was convicted for using drugs she was supposed to be testing in a state crime lab. The scandal led to thousands of criminal cases being dismissed. It also resulted in some prosecutors being sanctioned for the way they handled the scandal. And now the Massachusetts Board of Bar Overseers has recommended that one of the prosecutors involved be disbarred. The BBO says former Assistant Attorney General Anne Kaczmarek should not be allowed to practice law. WBUR senior correspondent Deborah Becker has been covering this story, and she is here with us today to tell us more about this unprecedented move. Deb, first, thank you so much for coming through and talking to us about this story. It is incredibly interesting.
Well, you're welcome.
Now, this is a first for the BBO. What's their reason for this decision?
Well, the BBO memorandum says Anne Kaczmarek should lose her license to practice law because, quote, the entire criminal justice system has suffered because of this lab scandal that she was prosecuting for the AG's office at the time. The board also said Kaczmarek, quote, actively misled others in the AG's office and the district attorneys by not turning over potentially exculpatory evidence.
Now, can you take us step by step through those events that led to this?
Yeah, it's complicated. The evidence involved a former chemist named Sonia Farrick. In 2014, Farrick was convicted of using drug samples she was supposed to be testing at the state lab in Amherst. So thousands of criminal cases were compromised because the testing was faulty. Mm-hmm. The criminal drug cases were eventually dismissed because of Farrick's misconduct. Kaczmarek oversaw the prosecution of Farrick in the office of former Attorney General Martha Coakley. Documents that were found in Farrick's car showed that her drug use had gone on longer than the AG's office had claimed. Wow. So that meant even more criminal cases were compromised.
Wow.
So in this memorandum, the BBO said that Kaczmarek's motive, quote, appears to have been to contain the damage. I spoke with former assistant bar counsel attorney Nancy Kaufman, and she says this memo from the BBO sends a strong message.
We've never had in Massachusetts a prosecutor disbarred for prosecutorial misconduct, but I think it's very important that prosecutors are held to account. This is one of the only ways, maybe the only way, that an individual prosecutor can be held to account for violating constitutional rights.
All right. So it sounds like the Board of Bar Overseers is basically saying that as Assistant Attorney General Anne Kaczmarek was essentially trying to hide the truth so as not to have to go through the process of potentially exonerating more defendants.
That is how it appears.
Wow. So remind us how this evidence first came to light.
Well, as defense attorneys asked for evidence from the case against Farrick to see if their clients were affected by the faulty testing, Kaczmarek repeatedly said all evidence has been turned over to the prosecuting district attorney's offices. And after Farrick's conviction, a defense attorney named Luke Ryan got approval to examine the AG's evidence. And it was then that Ryan discovered what the AG's office called mental health worksheets. And these were found when police searched Farrick's car after her arrest. And those worksheets were Farrick's therapeutic records, where she admitted to using drugs for a longer period of time than the attorney general's office had claimed.
Man. Now, how did the BBO reach these recommendations?
Well, this has been a long process, Daryl. The actual case against Farrick has been going on for a decade. But in 2019, a complaint was filed against Kaczmarek and two other former assistant attorneys general for withholding these mental health worksheets. So the BBO appointed a special hearing officer who held weeks of hearings in 2020. And then the hearing officer made recommendations for sanctions to the BBO. These recommendations then from the full BBO for the prosecutors are even harsher than what the special hearing officer recommended, at least for two of them.
Right.
For Kaczmarek, The special hearing officer said she should only be suspended for 1 year and a day. And that day is significant because if you're suspended for more than a year, it means you have to reapply to get reinstated to the bar. For the other two of Kaczmarek's colleagues, the special hearing officer had recommended only a public reprimand for Kaczmarek's supervisor, John Werner. And the BBO, on the other hand, recommended a 3-month suspension for Werner. And then for Chris Foster, who worked under Kaczmarek, both the special hearing officer and the BBO recommended a 1 year and a day law license suspension. I spoke with Joe Makaluski. He's assistant bar counsel who helped prosecute this case before the BBO. And he said the recommendations really are significant.
I think they signify the unprecedented level of misconduct in this case that really did shake the foundation of the criminal justice system in a way that had never been seen before.
But Daryl, the BBO does not have the last word here.
Why?
Well, the BBO has to now notify the state Supreme Judicial Court, which is the only authority that can suspend or disbar an attorney. Then the case will be assigned to a single justice who can review it or refer it to the full court.
Now, how likely is it that the court will go along with what the board recommended?
Well, it's hard to say, but the court has issued rulings in the drug lab scandal involving Farrick and another drug lab scandal involving disgraced chemist Annie Ducan. Those rulings from the SJC essentially dismissed the tens of thousands of criminal cases where the chemists were involved. So the court's familiar with some of the issues here. Again, here is attorney Nancy Kaufman, a former assistant bar counsel, and this is what she says about the SJC and taking into consideration BBO recommendations.
They do pay due deference, what they call deference, to the board's recommendation, but there are many instances where the court has not gone along with the recommendation of the board. They might adopt the hearing officer's recommendation. They may do something entirely different because ultimately it's the court that decides the sanction.
Yeah, I mean, what can the prosecutors do? Can they appeal?
Well, the attorneys for the former prosecutors can argue on their behalf to the court. And I spoke with Alan David. He's the attorney who represents Chris Foster. And he is expected to argue that she was a junior lawyer following orders from her supervisor, Ann Kaczmarek. And he says those mental health worksheets were not clearly exculpatory. And he also argues that there should be more guidance for young lawyers if they can be held personally responsible for their supervisor's actions. And we should point out how these prosecutors have defended themselves in hearings about this. Kaczmarek argued she made a mistake. She thought all the evidence had been turned over to the DA's offices. And her boss, John Werner, also said that he thought the evidence was provided to district attorneys at the time. So the bottom line is it'll probably be several more months before there is a final decision from the Supreme Judicial Court.
All right. So, Deb, before you go, I wanted to ask you a question, regarding criminal justice and what interests you about it. I mean, it's been a main focus in your reporting and you've been reporting for some time now. I'm just curious, like, what else about this particular issue interests you and what do you think should interest our listeners?
Well, I think this story is enormously significant. Here are two major drug lab scandals. They've been described as the largest drug lab scandals in the history of this country. When they first happened a decade ago, there wasn't a great deal of attention. In fact, one prosecutor essentially said the drug tests that these chemists did basically just confirmed guilt, which we already knew. These people were guilty.
Right.
So I think over the past decade, there has been much more of a focus on the criminal justice system and reforms. Since this happened, we saw Ferguson, we saw George Floyd, we saw questions about forensic testing for court cases, we saw questions about whether the war on drugs is effective. Prosecutors would not say what that prosecutor said a decade ago, that compromised evidence isn't really significant, right? So I think this case sends a message that if there is not a strong case against a defendant with proper evidence, then the charges against someone aren't going to hold up in court. And I know that sounds basic, but a decade ago, the thinking on this was very, very different.
Yes.
And also the fact that prosecutors, and not only line prosecutors here, we're talking three former assistant attorneys general, are facing sanctions, including potential disbarment. I mean, that's pretty incredible. And I think it shows how far the needle has moved in terms of possible reforms to the criminal justice system and attention paid to what's going on in the system. And these types of reforms take a long, long time. So I think what we're witnessing is these reforms are happening. And that's what this story shows.
Yeah, I got the sense that this does feel like something rare, where you get to see that systemic corruption being addressed and you know, for lack of a better term, kind of punished. You know, you rarely see that.
Right. You don't see it often. And I think it's I think it's a real case study in how things have shifted.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Deb, thanks again. I really appreciate this.
Yeah, thank you.
That's WBUR senior correspondent Deb Becker. And that's all for today. Today's show was produced by Wilder Fleming with sound design by Paul Vikas and Emily Jankowski. It was edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. Thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you soon. Do you want to feel more connected to your community? If so, you should check out Radio Boston, WBUR's local daily news magazine, where the town hall meets the kitchen table. Radio Boston is a great way to stay connected to what's happening in our city and our region, 5 days a week. Just search for Radio Boston in your favorite podcast app and hit subscribe.